Today's audio cast for Friday, February 23rd, 2007 from AFWeb, the world's premier independent aviation news resource, is brought to you by the Bose Aviation Headset 10. I'm Mike Blakeney reporting. The aviation associations have had much to say about the FAA's user fee proposal, but general aviation industry executives have so far been relatively quiet since the plan was announced last week. So, AVWeb's Chad Troutvetter caught up with Eclipse Aviation President and CEO Vern Rayburn to get a manufacturer's point of view on this red-hot topic. Not surprisingly, he gives the FAA's new funding scheme a thumbs down.
In terms of how I think the fuel tax increase could affect GA in general, it's a pretty steep tax, and it's not so much the effect on the industry that I'm concerned about. It really comes down to what is the justification for that increase in tax, because let's make no qualms about it. It is a tax, and typically or traditionally, taxes are usually founded in some type of rationale. The rationale that's being presented by the administration right now is not in any shape, form, or fashion, you know, a justifiable or defensible rationale. It really is nothing more than what is on the table today, and I emphasize what's on the table, is nothing more than a cost shift from the airlines to general aviation. The airlines, of course, want to shift as much cost as they can anywhere they can, be it security costs, be it air terminal costs, and that's because the airlines just can't figure out how to make money. All they can do is, you know, put people on airplanes and hold them hostage for 10 hours and then, you know, say, pay us some more money. And so the reality here is that this is not tied to NGATS. NGATS, the Next Generation Air Transport System, is clearly and fundamentally essential to the nation, not just to the airlines, not to just VLJ, not just to any one group. It's essential to aviation in this nation. And anybody who understands it, and I've been very involved with the JPDO and the READ Act for the last 3 years, understands it is the answer to quite literally all of our problems when it comes to capacity, except for, of course, the airlines who all try to land on the same runway at the same instance because they all want to land or depart at 8 a.m. or 8 p.m. And we're never going to solve that problem, but that's their problem. That's not GA's problem. So the way the proposal is today, it's not clear what actually goes to NGATS. So what really is being presented as a reauthorization or a modernization proposal by the administration is nothing of the sort. It's just a different way to fund the entire FAA, and it's a way to significantly shift the funding from the airlines to general aviation with no real justification. Now, the normal justification is, well, a blip is a blip, and airlines pay for more than they should. But frankly, and this is the most critical I will be of the FAA on any subject, the FAA has been plain flat stupid when it comes to how they allocate the cost of the operation of the system. Any allocation that is nothing more sophisticated than take the total number of operations, divide by the total cost, therefore each operation the same cost, is at best ignorant and at worst plain flat stupid. And the reason I say that is because so much of the cost of the system today is driven by the capacity of the system as dictated by the airlines. The airlines drive the peak usage. Power companies understand this. They charge users who use more power during peak usage periods a lot more than during low usage periods. The FAA is not taking that approach. They're saying if you use the system at any point, any time, anywhere, you pay the same as if you use it at the worst point at the worst time. That's what the airlines do. They drive the capacity of the system. They drive the contention of the system. They drive the congestion of the system. And yet they claim they're overpaying. Arguably, they're probably not paying enough. But until the FAA engages in a genuine cost allocation exercise, we're never going to know the real answer. Therefore, what's the objective or reasonable price for GA to pay and for the airlines to pay? It's very hard to come up with a number because the data just doesn't support one position or another. It clearly doesn't support what the administration is proposing right now. Does it support the way it is? I'm not sure. Probably GA should pay some more. How much more? I think that's going to be one of the big debates. Unfortunately, the way the administration has approached this, that debate is going to be a purely political debate. It's not going to be a debate founded in actual usage of the system.
More of our conversation with Eclipse Aviation President and CEO Vern Rayburn after this from Bose.
The Bose Aviation Headset 10. For 5 years, the number one choice in Professional Pilot Magazine survey. Enjoy an unmatched combination of comfortable fit, noise reduction, and clearer audio with 50% less clamping force than most conventional ANR headsets. Learn more at Bose.com/headset. Fly with the Aviation Headset 10 for 30 days risk-free. Order now and receive free shipping. And learn about the convenient payment plan. Visit Bose.com/headset.
Regarding user fees, Eclipse Aviation's Vern Rayburn says right now general aviation manufacturers are working the political process to get their views heard.
I think that everybody in the industry today is trying to work with their various representatives in Washington, both elected and association organizations. I think that the industry is working very hard to make sure that the people who are ultimately going to make the decision, which is Congress, understands the total picture. The air transport industry, through ATA in particular, and through the airline zone representatives, is of course in there presenting their side, and GA is in there presenting our side. That's the political process, and one might argue it works pretty good in America, because we do seem to ultimately come to a conclusion. It's just that what's on the table today is patently inequitable, and what's on the table today won't be accepted, I don't believe, by Congress. But what will be accepted, that's going to be what happens over the next few months.
Rayburn has testified before Congress on very light jets and their impact on the national airspace system, and he expects he'll be back on Capitol Hill to address the user fee issue.
There's going to be a lot of people testifying in a lot of things. And, of course, one of the reasons that I've been asked to speak before both the Senate and the House is simply because the airlines have decided VLJs are going to take business away from them, which once again proves how sort of uncreative the airlines are. They basically view anybody who flies in the air as their rightful customer. We've said for a long time, our operators like Dayjet have said for a long time, that we see the vast majority of passengers in VLJs, the vast users of VLJs, as incremental traffic, as traffic that isn't flying in the airlines today. Frankly, they're driving on the highways. And we see very, very little cannibalization of air passengers. In fact, some models, some scenarios suggest that we'll actually drive passengers when the air taxi model into the airlines, because customers will fly on the air taxi one half of their trip and they'll fly home on the airlines in the other half of their trip. And so we actually think we'll generate some traffic for the airlines. But unfortunately, the airline industry today is managed by people who tend to view the entire industry as a zero-sum game. Everybody who flies on the airplanes today is somebody that either flies on Delta or American, and if Delta can steal them from America, then Delta's better off. They apply the same sort of zero-sum, basically stick your head in a hole in the ground type of view towards other aircraft in the airspace system. But the simple fact of the matter is that most of the aircraft, non-airline aircraft today, are flying people that, frankly, aren't going to fly on the airlines, because, once again, VLJs and air taxis are all about going where the airlines don't go. And so how can you fly on an airline when they don't go where you want to go?
But the airlines could use that same argument to say that VLJs will increase air traffic and thereby cause more congestion.
It's a red herring. It's bogus. And, again, the answer is very obvious and very simple, and it's very rational, which is when we look at our customers today, when we look at the planned operations of companies like Dayjet, we're going where the airlines aren't. How can you increase a workload when you're going somewhere where there's already more unused capacity than any of the airports that the airlines fly into? I mean, once again, the facts are very simple and very clear. 22 airports constitute over 90% of the operations of the airlines in terms of employment. Another 13 of the airports, the 35 OPE airports, constitute over 95%. The airline industry today flies to and from major population centers. The bulk, vast bulk of traffic goes through those major population centers. The airlines operate in a hub-spoke fashion, which drives huge contention, meaning they all want to fly at exactly the same time. And anybody who's gone through a DFW or an O'Hare or a Hartsfield or any of the major airlines and stood in front of the monitors that show you 7, 12, 10 different monitors listing all the departures, and you say, gosh, there's 7 airplanes departing at 5.05 p.m. And you go, there's not 7 runways, so how can they all depart at exactly the same time? That's the problem with the air traffic control system. It's not by VLJs. It's by the airlines, by the airlines. And once again, the VLJs are going to operate out of the airline space. They're going to operate in the 20s and the teens. And once again, they're going to go to airports and service communities that, frankly, the airlines don't give a damn about and ignore today.
The user fee issue has polarized the industry at a time when it really needs to come together to upgrade the ATC system.
I'm sorry that the situation has gotten so polarized, because we have genuine problems that, as an industry, and that means everybody, from Boeing to Eclipse, from American to Dayjet, we need to solve these problems. Our air traffic control system today is antiquated. It is a system that is architecturally and technically founded in World War II technology, and it has never been re-architected from scratch the way that it should have been decades ago. There is a very good plan in the JPDO. There's a very good plan that the FAA Administrator Blakely has done a wonderful job of laying the foundation, the groundwork, for what can truly be an air traffic control system that will take this nation and all the industries into the 21st century. If we don't get that done, we are in extraordinarily serious shape in the industry. Unfortunately, that has become a rallying cry for the airlines to slough off their duty, to try to slough off what they should be rightfully paying, and trying to basically do what they've always tried to do, which is screw everybody else other than themselves. I wish we hadn't gotten to this adversarial position. A lot of us tried to not get to this adversarial position, but it's where we are today, so it's a fight now, and I'm kind of willing to bet on GA's ability to fight.
Well, there you go, a manufacturer's perspective on user fees. That was Eclipse Aviation President and CEO Vern Rayburn. We appreciate him taking the time to visit with us today. The world's best website for general aviation news, avweb.com, is now even better. 24/7 updates, breaking news stories are now posted on the avweb.com homepage as they happen in a fresh, new, easy-to-navigate format. News alerts, e-bulletins on significant news will be sent to AvWeb Flash subscribers, alerting you to important developments as they occur. Sign up is free, and we promise we won't spam you or sell your name. Fantastic photos, audio news, of course, and videos. Visit www.avweb.com for all this and a whole lot more. Audio news at avweb.com for comments, and this report was brought to you by the Bose Aviation Headset 10. Look for AvWeb's next audio cast on Friday, February 23rd. For the AvWeb Audio News Team, I'm Mike Blakeney. Thanks for listening.